Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com. We're talking about Steelers Training Camp 2016, Day 2, Saturday, June the 30th. I'm joined on the other end of the line, as always, by Alex Kozora. Alex, happy Saturday, and are you dried out yet?
Yeah, that's what the right in the rain, waterproof paper and pen was for. And we were so spoiled last year, Dave. I think of the 18 practices, maybe once midway through one practice, there was a little bit of rain. Other than that, though, it was great. And day two, it was a bit of a mess out there today.
Yeah, and it caused a little bit of delay, too. I think we're lucky to even be recording. It's 9:30 Eastern time right now. We're probably you probably motored home and got right to writing, didn't you?
I did, and yeah, and I was driving in, and I saw some thunder and some lightning, and of course, those are really the two things that can signal, you know, a cancellation. And I was worried about just the rain and where's the team going to practice on the turf field, and you know, that's kind of far away from where we sit. So I was a little worried today we weren't going to have a whole lot to talk about, but thank goodness the football gods were a little nice to us, and we have a lot to say.
And boy, do we have some stuff to talk about tonight. Let's start off with our nightly kind of housekeeping. Alex, Mike Tomlin met the media after Saturday's practice. Really one, not even injury, it's an absence more than anything. Shamarco Thomas missed the Saturday session. Mike Tomlin termed it an illness. Mike Tomlin says, we gave him the day there. He says he should pass in a couple of days. All of the other things are status quo. But there's one guy that you didn't want probably in that secondary other than a rookie to miss a practice is Shamarco Thomas. And it really doesn't sound like you're going to be back Sunday. We'll keep our fingers crossed for him. As Mike Tomlin said, everything else is status quo. And by that, he means Ladarius Green with the ankle still on active PUP. Shaquem Phillips with the hernia still on the active PUP. Devontae Sigler conditioning on the non-football injury report. I'm sure you're going to tell us in a little bit what he did on the side today. And then Xavier Grimble, who left the Friday practice with cramps, was able to return to practice on Saturday. So that's wraps up kind of your nightly injury report there. Let's get right to it, Alex. Talking about the offensive line here, and we had a little bit of a flip-flop today with the starters, didn't we?
Yeah, we had quite a bit of moving and shaking, and it's a little surprising because usually that doesn't happen till later in camp. But, you know, Ryan Harris ran his first team left tackle today, and I know the team has framed it as a competition between him and Alejandro Villanueva. I still think and believe that Villanueva is going to win this job, but the team, again, wants to frame it as a competition. You have to show some action behind that. So Harris ran first team left tackle today. Villanueva second team. Some other guys moved around. I think Chris Hubbard, BJ Finney flipped left and right guard. Hubbard was working right guard today. Finney was left guard, which is different than yesterday. And then Brian Mahalik's getting some run as a little bit second team right tackle, then third team left tackle. So he gets a little bit of rotation in with Jarrell Hawkins. Maybe that's a conditioning thing just so they don't, you know, burn out Hawkins like they did BJ Finney last year. But yeah, quite a bit of moving and shaking very early in training camp for the offensive line.
I'm glad to hear Hubbard and Finney. That's one of the things that we kind of talked about, you know, over the course of the summer here is how much work are these guys going to get, you know, plain and simple, these guys are battling for what we like to term a swing interior position because they should be able to play all three positions. Now, whether or not guys like Hubbard and Finney wind up dressing if they make the 53-man roster is yet to be determined. But we'll probably see those guys jump around quite a bit, you know, for the rest of training camp here. Did you read what Todd hit the post I put up from Todd Haley on Villanueva today?
Yeah, it was the interview he did yesterday, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah, I do remember bits and pieces of that, but what was your impression?
I thought he was spot on. I mean, exactly. You know, basically, he talked about how Villanueva had progressed throughout the season, and you know, he might have got fooled once, and then, you know, if he saw it once, he usually was able to correct and go from there. And I think, you know, that's just part of the maturation process with him being a young offensive lineman. And as Haley put it, said, look, remember, this guy really hasn't even hardly played over there. And I really thought that Todd Haley framed that well. For those of you who haven't read that interview that Haley had on 93.7 The Fan Friday morning, I have that up on Steelers Depot as well, too. Anything else stick out to you with the offensive line, Alex?
Not huge. Again, they're not doing O-line, D-line. Hopefully that starts tomorrow. I did see Hawkins get beat around the edge one time, so just trying to work on get out of your stance quickly, have a nice kick slide, but nothing huge there. Again, I was just trying to focus on where guys are lining up and see any differences, and to my surprise, there were some differences today.
And we should note too that no pads, you know, not full pads today. They'll finally get in full pads on Sunday there. Real quick on the Mahalik, the Steelers are going to try to make it a habit of getting these big guys and kind of shuttle them through the practice squad and all. I think we're starting to see a trend here, aren't we?
Yeah, it's like if you're a Pirates fan, it's like Ray Searge or just pitchers that, you know, they have a type and guys they try to bring up. And yeah, it's those conversion guys. It's so funny how similar Mahalik and Villanueva are. Both guys that are 6'9", both guys that played defensive end in college, both guys that were undrafted and were with Philadelphia as defensive ends, and now they're in Pittsburgh as offensive tackles. It's pretty funny. I don't have a great feel for how well Mahalik's doing. I think it is a positive thing that he's getting to play both sides early. Certainly does not look lost in that regard. Excited to see him one-on-ones whenever, you know, guys really get exposed or they can rise to the occasion.
Instead of going premium, the Steelers are shopping at the outlet store at the seconds.
yeah, it's the old flea market.
Yeah, going to be interesting to watch Mahalik during the, well, Villanueva for that matter too, during the preseason. I really look forward to that. Okay, let's go to the tight end position. We already talked about Xavier Grimble coming back today. Better day for him.
It was, and that's kind of the main guy to talk about today. This is a really athletic guy. He's got a great body type. He can make some really difficult catches. He makes it look effortless. He's got a nice catch radius, adjusted the football well. Thought it was a nice bounce back day after some up and down yesterday. And he got a lot of burn with the first team. Now, I understand that Ladarius Green is out, and he's going to naturally have some more opportunities. But I think they really want to see what Grimble can do. And I thought he had a nice day today. I think he's showing those tools that he has. And with a tight end group that does not have a lot of names to talk about right now, with Ladarius Green out of the lineup, you know, Grimble's going to be kind of the focal point right now. I know Jesse James is obviously, you know, ahead of him in the depth chart, but Grimble's the popular name to watch in training camp.
Can he get down the field? You know, Kevin Colbert talked, when was it, yesterday on one of the radio stations? Oh, Steelers Nation Radio, talking about, you know, even though Xavier Green hasn't been able to hit the field yet, you know, what a kind of an explosive vertical threat he is. And that's one of the things they liked about him. And Colbert went on to say how that's something they haven't had in Pittsburgh, you know, for definitely not as long as he's been there. And then of course, before that, because, you know, that new athletic kind of tight end that's the rage has been around for 4 years, 5 years now, something like that. Does Grimble get down the field? I guess when I'm going to be point blank. Can Grimble get down the field better than Jesse James?
I don't know if I want to go that far yet. I think we need to see some more. But I'll say this much to that. I know Grimble 2 years ago timed a 4.9 flat at USC's Pro Day. He looks a lot more fluid and a lot faster than 4.9. I'm not sure exactly what his body type was back then, but I can't imagine he had the same amount of muscle and kind of the leaner, you know, not leaner, but not, you know, there's no bad weight on Xavier Grimble, and he probably might have had that coming out of college. So I bet you he really whipped himself into shape, and he's definitely faster than the way he timed and tested 2 years ago.
And this is a guy that really I've only seen on USC tape from a couple of years ago, and is really I've got to throw everything out at this point
Mm.
because we're not even dealing with the same person here. So as we've talked about all summer, but this is another guy. You talk about Mahalik, you talk about Villanueva, some of these younger guys on the roster. This is one guy that there's been so much buzz about that, I can't wait to see during the preseason. Definitely be watching him. Not only running the seam routes and possibly line up in the slot and outside, but his blocking ability, which is going to be huge to kind of monitor here as well. Any of these other young tight ends getting burned?
They're getting reps. I'll say that Paul Lang and Mandel Dixon were a little bit better on the sleds today. I think Dixon's hand placement still needs some work. He shoots a little too high, but I thought they were better, but far from spectacular.
Okay, and what else do we have at tight end? David Johnson do anything
Yeah, he
worth noting?
nothing really worth noting. He gets mixed in a little bit with the first team. I think he's still going to be a fine blocker. You can hear him on the sled. You saw a little bit in reps on day one of him being able to be that lead blocker and a guy that'll stick to you and drive his lower half. So I think he'll be fine in that role. Jesse James, nothing real huge in notes today. He was the right wing on field goal units, so you could see that today. No real surprise there. But the tight end, the big takeaway for me, the big talking point is Xavier Grimble.
We've got a lot to talk about when we go to come to the wide receiver position now. Marcus Wheaton, I don't think got too much practice time today. I think Mike Tomlin, that this is going to be one of those players that they kind of monitor and manage, so to speak. And Mike Tomlin said as much after practice was over. He's got some sort of, I think, a calf or some sort of soft tissue thing that he's kind of dealt with. And I think it gives him problems right now from time to time. So it's something to keep an eye on. It doesn't sound like it's serious, but just the same, to my knowledge, he got some burn early, and then Eli Rogers was actually your first team slot guy with I guess what AB and Sammy Coates on the outside.
Yeah, I think you might be able to put Heyward Bey in kind of that similar Wheaton category where they're managing his reps. I don't track it obviously play by play, but I don't think Heyward Bey got a ton of time today, and I think part of that was because they got like Sammy Coates kept making a lot of plays. So those are the two guys to really focus on today to hone in on is Sammy Coates and Eli Rogers. Coates had the best day of anybody today. And again, the defense can't hit back yet, so they're going to be at a disadvantage. But I thought Coates won, he caught the ball cleanly, and that's not always a given any day in general. And in a wet, slick day like today was in Latrobe, he made some spectacular catches. There was one 7-on-7 where he beat Donald Washington down the left sideline, full extension, laid out, made the catch. He was burning all the backup cornerbacks, whether it's Montel Garner or Alhash Shabazz or Washington. The guy caught the ball cleanly. He's got a nice catch radius. Even the little mistakes that he made, on air drills, Todd Haley coached him up one time. Coates ran the next rep and he did it fine. I thought Coates had a really excellent day, and the tools, again, he showed all those tools that got him drafted, and he showed the reliable hands that was the question mark of him coming at Auburn. No issues today. Very exciting day for Sammy Coates.
And I went back and I broke down all pretty much I think I found 90% of his games at Auburn. I remember trying to focus in because there was the drop moniker that he had on him. It really wasn't as bad, not his last year there from what he was made out to
Right.
be, in my opinion. I can't remember the numbers exactly. I'll have to dig up the old post I think I have on that or old notes on there. But the big thing that stuck out with me on with Sammy Coates was most all but what was it? All but one of his touchdowns were something like 30 yards out. You remember that stat that I had?
Vaguely, vaguely.
After he was drafted, I mean, he was a deep home run guy, plain and simple. And it looks like, of course, some of the pictures and reports we're seeing not only by you but by other people on Twitter was he wasn't just making catches today; he was making damn good catches.
Yeah, vertical threat. Just clean, explosive, able to get separation underneath, able to be a vertical threat, able to catch the ball cleanly, quick to the tuck, get upfield. I have no bad things to say about Sammy Coates today. Again, it is just one day, and you want to see consistency. Consistency is what you preach in camp and throughout the season. But today, great day for Sammy Coates.
How is he, Steelers.com posted on Twitter today that slow motion, and boy, you can learn so much from that video of AB, running the cones there and then having to drop his hips. And he's fantastic at it, obviously, and he should be right now. Sammy Coates, how does his form, compare right now at this stage?
I think he's fine. He's of course not going to be as fluid, not going to be able to sink his hips and get out of his breaks and be as fluid as AB, but I think he's just smooth, Sammy Coates is, and for a bigger guy, I know he's not the biggest guy, but for a bigger guy with a bigger, frame, he's a very smooth guy, doesn't have any wasted motion, and he's able to get out of his breaks relatively quick, and he has a nice frame that can help box cornerbacks out. So, no, I think he's in a good place right now.
The key is too when you're talking about dropping those hips and all, you don't want to see a wide receiver have to go through a 2-3 steps to have to do that. It should be almost an instantaneous. If not, you're kind of tipping yourself that you're breaking down and gonna cut. And there's an old video on the internet that talks about that, and then it talks about how Jerry Rice was so good at that. So if people want to research that, about dropping the hips and getting in and out of the breaks, it really is
Right,
great.
because cornerbacks, they don't read your eyes. The eyes fool you. They read your hips. The hips don't lie. And so that's what you have to be able to perfect as a receiver, is to be able to sell that with your hips, to get cornerbacks, to not be able to anticipate what you're going to do.
And as I mentioned to everybody, if you got to find a tweet on from Steelers.com, because it's a great slow-mo breakdown of Antonio Brown dropping his hips out on the first cone, and then they speed it back up, and he goes to the rest of the drive. I really found that. I watched that about 20 times this afternoon. Anything else stick out at wide receiver? I mean, AB's AB. Eli Rogers and the rest of the group.
Yeah, I thought that was a fine day collectively. Rodgers getting a lot of time in the slot. DeMarcus Ayers in the slot some. Even Cannon Severn got some reps in the slot. A little disappointed Marcus Tucker hasn't played inside at all. He's been a strictly outside guy. He was telling me he thought he had a feeling the team would give him some slot work in training camp. I thought he had some traits that could, work there. So far, no dice on that. But Sammy Coates, the big winner, big takeaway of the day.
All right, running backs, go.
Not a lot to note with running backs. Again, tough to evaluate them when the defense can't tackle back. I will say with the fullbacks, though, Roosevelt Nix playing a little bit more on ball today, I think part because of the lack of tight end depth. Maybe they want to be able to do some of that stuff during the regular season, just be able to increase Nix's value, be able to play him with comfort all over the formation. So I saw him on the ball, off the ball, kind of all over the place today.
Yeah, we'll learn more about these running backs when they start putting on the pads, and we'll get a better look at what they can and can do, can and can't do with and without the football in their hands during the preseason games. Those, you want to talk about a position that's kind of relatively easy to break down, young players in a preseason game, even though, the blocking, yada yada, is probably not or definitely not as good when some of these guys get in there. You can still see whether or not some of these guys can avoid tackles, behind the line of scrimmage, and obviously pass protection and knowing their assignments. So I bet it's kind of hard to gauge that position right now. Le'Veon do much? I wouldn't think so on this wet grass today.
Maybe at least one carry, maybe two. I'd have to go back and look at my notes, but yeah, limited work today. But of course, after yesterday, I mean, he looked pretty good on a slick day today. Yeah, definitely take it off.
Any new developments on our defensive line today?
Defensive line. I thought Javon Hargrave, I thought Ricardo Matthews both had nice days. They're able to kind of get some penetration on some run plays. Of course, they can't finish and make the tackle, but they're getting a lot of reps in nickel. It's kind of the second team nickel behind Hayward and Tuitt. Hayward and Tuitt, again, pretty limited. So that's the big takeaway today. I thought Ricardo Matthews, Javon Hargrave, it's a nice job being able to flow and get penetration on some of those zone runs.
Keith Butler talked about Javon Hargrave today. Did you hear any of
I
that?
did not realize Keith Butler talked about. No, I did not. What did he say?
He was asked about Hargrave, how's development, all like that. He says, and I do Keith Butler really well because A, I'm Southern, and B, I stutter. So, so I got that. Here is a direct quote from Keith Butler. I don't know until we put the pads on with him. He moves good. That sucker is nimble as all get out for a for a defensive lineman. So we'll see how he rushes the passer when we get the pads on and we start going one-on-one with our offensive
The only
line.
thing that could have made that comment more southern was if Keith Butler was holding some biscuits and gravy while he was saying that statement. That's
Or if he mixed in a dad gum, and he actually, and he did mix in a dad gum earlier when we when he talked about Jarvis Jones. So I hope to have I've got most of that transcribed. That's why I was reading it off of here. I transcribed all that audio this afternoon. But fun to hear Keith Butler talk. But I thought that was great. He said he moves good. And says that sucker is nimble as all get out for a defensive lineman, and that's obviously as advertised right now for Hargrave. And once again, when they put the pads on, he start having to take some reps against maybe DeCastro and Pouncey. We'll see what he's made of. Anything else? I mean, the rotation's going the way you thought. Where you Keshad Lyons and the LT Walton. Anything sticking out with either of those two young players?
Yeah, I thought Walton's done a good job with the line of scrimmage holding the point of attack, but again, it is tough to gauge. He's running second team left defensive end. Lyons is third team right defensive end. It's playing out kind of what I expected. Nothing surprising in terms of where guys are lining up right now.
All right, let's talk about linebackers. And last night we thought, okay, Jordan Sumwalt, Alex made a mistake. No, he did not play or did not take any reps on the outside on Friday. Well, lo and behold, that happened today.
Better to be lucky than good, I guess, sometimes, and that'll apply to me as well. Yeah, I was positive this time. Number 49, Jordan Sumwalt, an outside linebacker. And really, if you look at, because the inside linebacker group filled up, who was the odd man out? They're saying it's Jordan Sumwalt, and they had an opening, an outside linebacker. And because Sumwalt does have a little bit of experience there, they put him third team outside linebacker, mostly on the left side. So, yeah, that's where he's at. I'll do it.
That's not a good sign for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of a need there. But, yeah, I wouldn't consider that a good sign. Inside linebacker, your second team is Vince Williams and LJ Fort. So he's ahead of both Tyler Medikevich and Steven Johnson. Those two are the third team inside linebackers right now. So we're kind of being able to develop a bit of a pecking order here. I think tomorrow, I'll do a kind of a real early, rough depth chart just to help provide some clarity to where guys are lining up. Because I know it's kind of tough to be able to follow it when, written word in my posts or audio like this. So that's the lineup right now. Other quick side note is that Anthony Ciccolo, once James Harrison got pulled for the last 11-on-11, he became the second team right outside linebacker. Ciccolo's played both sides. Feeney has played both sides. I think those are positive signs for both of those gentlemen.
With Steven Johnson, he can move, can he?
I haven't gotten a good feel for that. We'll see, maybe tomorrow and, again, in preseason. But, where I'm at with Steven Johnson is that I thought, and I still think he's going to be a replacement for Terrence Garvin, a guy that could be a four-phase special teams player. So, I really want to see whenever they start going more. And once they start piecing special teams together more, I want to see where Steven Johnson is at, how many hats he's wearing.
Keith Butler talked very, very briefly about him today. In fact, it was so brief I can't remember the sentence that he used on him, but I'll have to dig him up. I closed out my notes here on that. Nothing else stuck out linebacker-wise?
I think I pretty much have the current depth chart figured out. I'm trying to look at all my notes right now, trying to read my chicken scratch. So I'll have that up in the morning, though. But again, Jordan Sumwalt outside, kind of picking up table scrap snaps with Mike Riley right now. Not a great sign for him. That's about it today.
All right, cornerbacks. It's kind of hard to paint a picture sometimes on Twitter, but kind of a rough day for Duran Grant, or no?
Yeah, I think he's been getting picked on the first 2 days, and he has had to face some talented players, Antonio Brown, Marcus Wheaton, Sammy Coates, so it's certainly not like he's getting beat by the back end of the roster. But yeah, he's kind of been picked on some. I thought Donald Washington had an up-and-down day, had one nice breakup and good read on the football on a comeback that was intended for Sammy Coates. He was able to bat it away. Just going through individual work a little bit, you can see kind of how springy he is, how he loads up and fires up into the air. Remember, he jumped 45 inches at the combine back in 2009. I believe at that point it tied a record. I believe it's been broken now, I think, by Chris Conley. But Washington, you know, he's doing his thing as the right corner. Montel Garner's been playing left corner in some slot work today, second team slot. So yeah, the more hats you can wear, the better. It's certainly no guarantee. We've seen guys like B.W. Webb and I think even Kevin Fogg last year play outside and inside, and of course it didn't end up, you know, working out for either of those guys, but I think that's a positive sign. Just in general, these young defensive backs, Dave, I love the effort that they put in after practice today. You got Duran Grant, Artie Burns, Sean Davis, Golson. They're all sticking around, taking reps with Carnell Lake, trying to work on some little things, work on their jam at the line of scrimmage and being able to kind of ride receivers left or right, you know, depending on which way they release. So I just like the effort and the commitment this group has.
And they mostly doing 7-on-7 stuff. How much 11-on-11 are they doing?
Well, they do, as a team, they do 4 sessions of 11-on-11. They'll do that every single day. So you got 15. There's 3 sessions that are 15 plays. Then you have your first 11-on-11, which is your 7 shots. So what is that, 45, 52 plays total each day that they're going to run.
Okay, great. So they're, in other words, they're getting plenty of work in 11-on-11. Then.
Yep, they get, and then they get some 7-on-7 work as well. And you know, eventually we're going to probably add in some 1-on-1 work as well. So they're going to get plenty of reps to soak up.
Okay, any if you had to pick one that stuck out the most of that cornerback group today?
That stuck out. I they were all kind of up and down. I mean, there's some obvious guys. William Gay was fine. He was able to shut down Antonio Brown vertically. I thought Donald Washington, though, just made some positive plays. And you know, he got burnt one time by Sammy Coates on that great catch that he had. But Washington made a nice play, and I give credit to that. So I guess he kind of had a nice play. I guess I'll give my credit to Donald Washington.
All right, was Shemarco sitting out today ill? Who benefited from that?
It looked like Ross Ventrone got elevated to the second team. There's some rotation going on, and Sean Davis didn't see as much work in the slot as yesterday, but still had some slot work third team behind Olsen and Garner. So, you know, that gave more time for Jacob Hagan and Ray Venopal, got a couple of reps in there. Nothing real huge to note from that, but those safeties, they want to hunt and be able to hit you. And, you know, Jordan Dangerfield wants to, and he actually knocked down Levi Norwood today. So tomorrow, I think we're going to find a good bit about the safety group.
Yeah, once they put these pads on, we'll start learning a lot more. Anything different in the return lines?
Nope, all the same. Eli Rogers, though, did get a lot of praise from Mike Tomlin. And, you know, again, it's pretty easy today, or it's easy every day in training camp because you're not really facing much of a rush. It's a very low-pressure environment. But because today, you know, it was cloudy, there was a slick football out. It was kind of a slick field today. They covered the tarp. When they uncovered the tarp, it started to rain really hard, and so the field got pretty wet and pretty slick, but Eli Rogers was able to get under the football, get square, and be able to tuck the football away quickly and get upfield, and he drew a lot of praise from Mike Tomlin. He was watching that group today, so if you want to say anyone stood out, and that's a very loose term in this environment, but Eli Rogers stood out and had a nice day in that portion of special teams today.
You know what? We forgot to talk about the quarterbacks. maybe that's good.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to bring it up because I don't have a whole lot on them. Gradkowski, you know, is definitely running ahead of Dustin Vaughn and got more reps today. I was able to go back and look at that. I wanted to make sure of that today. You know, I thought they had a pretty clean day with the rain today. The snaps were pretty good. There was one or two bad exchanges. But you know, no lame duck throws, generally speaking, nothing terrible on that end. So I thought they were pretty clean, no interceptions today. So it's not a bad day considering the elements.
And that was Gronkowski that had that one deep one down the right side to Coates, right?
Yeah, that was over Duran Grant, and then Coates caught it over his shoulder down the right sideline. Just another, you know, great job by Coates to stay full speed, track the football, get his feet in bounds. He kind of showed a little bit of everything on that play, and yeah, Gronkowski tossed that one.
So we're not talking, I mean, you know, this time last year, weren't we talking about Landry Jones, the first couple practices and some INTs and stuff, or what?
Yeah, no, remember, Landry Jones had 10 of them last year. And actually, I think in that first practice, if my memory serves me right, he had 2 on the first day. Jones has been clean. I have no issues with Landry Jones. Ball's coming out quick. I don't know if he's made any super difficult throws. He did have one nice touch pass today to Darius Hayward Bay. He lofted over William Gay. But yeah, Jones has been fine, consistent, no major issues. And that's what I wanted to see from Landry Jones, is just be consistent, be trustable. And so far, so good.
Yeah, he's probably going to get some pretty decent burn in this first preseason game
Yep.
as the number two, and you would think also Gronkowski going to see some time, and I'm betting that we see Dustin Vaughn for at least half of that fourth quarter. Who knows? He might even get the whole fourth quarter to himself in that game. Let's see. You already talked about exchange. For the most part, the exchanges were good. I think I know you hated it. I know the fans in attendance hated the delay today, but Mike Tomlin actually seemed to enjoy it, I think. And he talked afterwards about why. He says he enjoyed the circumstances today because it's good to have to adjust your schedule and be able to take a group through it. He says they dealt with the weather circumstances today. It affected their morning in terms of the walkthrough. It affected practice out here. And he thought the guys did a nice job of not letting outside things affect their play. You would agree with that, right?
I thought it was a really clean day. There weren't drop passes. There weren't any fumbles. Really, the football was rarely on the ground in terms of those things. There was, again, one, I think, bad exchange. It was actually from Marquise Pouncey and to Landry Jones. So you'll give Pouncey a pass on that. So, yeah, I thought considering just kind of the little wacky day it was, I thought it was a very clean day of football. So hats off to that group as a whole.
And Mike Tomlin said, he was asked about Ryan Harris and he was asked about Eli Rogers and where they were running in a rotation. And we should probably say this most of training camp too. Even though we like to talk about the pecking orders and guys running with what teams, Mike Tomlin will tell you don't read too much into that,
Yep. Yes.
So it makes great podcast fodder and stuff to write about sometimes, but. I mean, there's some things obviously that are good for some players, but I wouldn't get caught up right now this early with a guy like Eli Rogers running in the slot, a guy like Ryan Harris running first team left tackle today. I'm sure they're going to flip that back over quite a bit here over the coming days. Pads go on tomorrow. Briefly, what are you looking for?
Man, it feels like it's going to be almost just day one of training camp because now you can really start evaluating the players a little bit. Who's going to be the physical out there? Who's going to be able to out-muscle guys? And you're going to see some of the one-on-one matchups and some guys in the vacuum. So I don't have anything real specific. I am excited, and hopefully we'll see O-line, D-line, and one-on-ones. That's kind of a highlight for me, and it really helps me evaluate those guys much better than what I can do in 11-on-11. So if I had to really circle anything, it would be hopefully the appearance of O-line, D-line work.
All right, Sunday, third of 14 training camp practices. Alex will be there once again. Alex, once again, thanks for sitting in. Your days are full just like mine. You have to drive, come back, write up your reports, hop on the podcast, and then write a little bit more afterwards. And big shout out to Tim Rice.
Yeah.
Have you seen those pictures?
Fantastic. Amazing.
Incredible, folks. Make sure you, if you do anything, go look at that post on SteelersDepot.com. It went up a little while ago from pictures from day two. I think he's got some more for me to put up a little bit later tonight. So check for an update on that as well. Make sure you follow him and Alex on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at SteelersDepot. Follow Alex on Twitter at Alex_Kozora. If you want to donate to the show, you can go to SteelersDepot.com. Or donate to the training camp experience, go to SteelersDepot.com. You'll see the badge, lower right-hand column of any post page, and it'll take you to the GoFundMe page. Or if you can't find that, just shoot me a Twitter or email message, and I'll point you right to it. Alex, I shall talk to you again Sunday evening. And folks, as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.